This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, in Texas, if it's not 110 or 20, you know, you're in good shape.
We all of a sudden find ourselves in that phase where we're hiding from the sun.
That's right. We got to hide from the sun to survive. And you see everybody with their hats on?
Yes.
You know, even women got their gardening hats on, which I find funny. You know, I see them out there with their little hats on.
And your sunscreen, do you have your sunscreen?
Oh, yeah. You don't go out without that.
Yeah.
Especially, remember, on your nose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to put that sunscreen on.
Yeah. I realized once a long time ago that if you miss sunscreen on your nose, but you get the rest of your face, it's going to look pretty ridiculous.
It's going to look pretty dadgum red.
Yeah. Be like
as
Rudolph.
As it peels off. Oh, my gosh. Yep, as it peels off, you know, it's not a good thing.
But it won't be too much longer. We're only, what, 4 months from Thanksgiving, so.
Oh, my gosh. All right, talk about Thanksgiving. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Well, kids are going back to school early this year. What do you think about that?
Oh, man, I know it, right? It's just like...
The ninth is when kids are going to school. It's always after Labor Day.
I know. It was so weird.
Not this year.
Because I thought, oh, you know, yeah, we still have, you know, summer vacations. And then we were driving around talking, and it's just like, no, they're like we're almost on back to school time. I'm like, no, it's just still July. And so we're like, wait a minute, though. Kids are going back early, and it's like, this is different. And it's like, ugh, it's kind of thrown everything off. It seems really strange.
Yeah, I think it is, too. Yeah. It's a strange time all the way around.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you think about the pandemic. We went through this. I thought we were getting out of it, but I'm seeing in a lot of towns, even in Texas, it has spiked back up again.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's causing that unless people are going around too many people at one time.
Yeah. I don't know.
And all these other places, they're demanding that everybody go back to mask. Now, I have stayed with the mask just... I figure if my doctor in his office requires it, then I should be wearing it wherever I go.
Yeah.
I figure if my doctor may know something I don't know.
Yeah, they might.
And so I am wearing a mask, and it just doesn't bother me if anybody notices it. But most places I go, they are still wearing masks.
You've always been really cautious, really since the beginning, the whole way through.
I have been very cautious. So far, I've managed to not get the virus, and I know a lot of people that are terribly ill. I have a friend that they went to the Westminster Dog Show in New York in their RV with their show dog. Coming back, he got it. They had to stop in Florida at some little bitty town, a little hospital. I mean, he said it was as bad as the virus.
Really?
You know? And he was in the hospital 2 weeks.
Oh, Lord.
And they brought him home, and then he got a clot in his lung. He was back in the hospital, and he's out now, but he has lost 40 pounds.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, and he's on oxygen. So, I mean, as serious as that thing is, you know, I want to stay away from it.
Yeah. Wow.
You know? Because when I see people physically... that are that ill, I'm going, oh my gosh, he's just barely survived it.
Wow.
And this was a big hulk of a guy, you know, healthy as a horse, and it's really brought him down.
Wow. Man, yeah, I guess it would be, you know, you hear stories on TV or the news or whatever, but I guess, you know, when you actually see it, you know, with your own eyes, like even before and after, I mean, 40 pounds, that's a really big, a big deal.
That's
and then
a big number.
Blood
really
clots
big.
And, wow, that's kind of scary.
Oh, yeah. And I never did ask them if they had already taken the shots. I don't know. I would like to think they had, but they must not have. For it to be hitting this hard.
Yeah.
They must have not taken the shot.
Wow.
Probably waiting around, you know. We're going to get to it later. You know how people are.
Yeah, see how it performs and how other people do with it.
Yeah, a lot of people are waiting to see, you know, how it really performs.
Wow. Man,
that's... A lot of people, millions have taken it, so you don't know.
Yeah, you really don't know. I mean, I suppose it would probably take years and years and years to... before we finally have data, I guess. I'm not a scientist or a doctor, but you don't know. You really don't know.
No, people don't know.
Yeah, but we may not have years.
That's right. We don't know about that.
So here we are on a wonderful Saturday morning.
That's right.
Solving all the problems.
Solve all the problems of the world, and we won't have any time we get through.
That is true. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So the big question this morning is, how are we on policies? Because I know last week there was some different territory that was on the horizon.
We had this large policy that we'd already committed to. It was longer than we've ever done. And I said, but it's got so much potential. It had such a great return, you know, 47%. I said, why don't we do this? And we've decided not to do it, unfortunately, because I think it is a great policy, because a lot of people said we don't want it that long.
When you say long, how long was...
It was 4 years.
Really?
4 years, 3.9 years, you know. We've never done one over 3 years. It's always been our policy, 3 years and under. And we've done that for 10 years, always. And it was different. I thought it would work. Apparently, everybody didn't share my enthusiasm for it. I mean, I still think it was a great policy. And there was no premium for 1 year. And I thought that was unheard of, you know. First year, we had no premium whatsoever.
Wow.
So we didn't have to escrow as much premium as usual. So I thought it had a lot of potential. But anyway, moving right on, we're closing on some other policies. You know, we had several that we'd committed to, and the Ginsburg policy has come back.
Really?
And yes, you know, Mr. Ginsburg, we tried to do this, if you remember, back in January, and we held on for 2 months, and he was so ill he couldn't sign the papers. He was back in the hospital. Remember, this is glioblastoma. This is a rare cancer of the brain, and it's short term. It's like 27 months, and a good premium on everything was a go, and everybody had signed up for it. We had the money escrowed ready to go, and we couldn't close on it, and so we lost all of our momentum. And they called me, you know, like 3 weeks ago, and said, Mr. Ginsburg wants to do it to you because of what happened. You know, he could have went and sold it to somebody else. He said he feels like he should give you first chance. And so they came back to us, and we talked about it on our radio show last week a little bit. And so then a lot of people that had been in that escrow before put up money immediately, said, oh, we want Ginsburg. They loved it. You know, because it was brain cancer, because it is short term. So we are going to offer that to everybody. We're going to offer it first to the original group. Because they sat there for 2 months while we waited on that policy. I mean, they were calling me every week saying, Faye, where are we? But they didn't get out of it. They held on. So I'm going to give them first choice.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So all the original people We're going to send out emails just to them and give them first choice. If any one of them drops out, then we'll let the rest of our people in on it.
Well, you know, I remember, you know, it seems like the Ginsburg policy, we talked about it for a long time, and it was like on the verge of going through as a great policy. and then, like you say, he's the one that got too sick to sign the papers. And so then it just kind of like fizzled away. I really wasn't sure. I didn't expect it to be able to come back around, but I guess
I didn't think we'd ever hear from Mr. Ginsburg or his people. But they were nice enough to say, you know, we waited 2 months for him, which we should never have waited 2 months. That was probably my fault because we believed in it and everybody had their money up.
Yeah.
So naturally we held on, but he was in the hospital, and he was just too sick to sign the documents. So he's not better, but at least he's not in the hospital. He's had a lot of seizures. He's fallen down a lot. I got 750 pages of his medical.
Jeez.
I've read every bit of his medical records.
Wow.
And, yes, and when he has these seizures, he doesn't remember it. So he doesn't think he's fallen or had a seizure.
Really?
Yeah, and he went to the neighbor's house, had a seizure there, and later he didn't believe it. And his girlfriend has told the doctors, yes, he's had several seizures, and this one time she thought he was gone because he was so still. And, you know, of course she called an ambulance. But it's, you know, when you've got brain cancer, you know, it will cause seizures. And he just has a lot wrong with him. And so originally, I believe there was 30 months. It's down to 27 months in just 6 months. It's come down 3 months in 6 months. So that's pretty fast.
Wow. Yeah.
So we're going to offer everybody this policy again. If everybody wants in it, we're going to make it available. It'll be up to them, you know, which way they want to go, because, you know, we have two or three other policies closing at the same time.
Wow. It's amazing because that was the next thing I was going to ask you. It's just like, okay, it was a 30-month policy back in January, and now it's come down, obviously, because the time has passed, but I would imagine things have probably progressed.
They are progressing on him, yes.
Wow.
And I don't know if he's, you know, how short time it's going to be, but it does seem like the seizures are getting, you know, more of those.
Wow. And it's really great, though, that now that it has kind of come back around, they remembered, you know, that you did hang on for a couple of months, you know, back in January when it was originally on the table. They remembered that, and then they came back and gave you first option at it this time around. So that was really,
yeah,
really cool.
I appreciate that. You know, them saying, well, we'll give you, you know, first option on it because of what happened before. And a lot of people, you know, would just have forgot about us, but they didn't. And they did call, did come back and said, you know, we're ready to do this with you.
Wow. Well, that's great that they did that. They could, like you said, you could have gone to, you know, anybody else. So, you know, sometimes those things that we sometimes the things that we think are not really great at the time or we regret doing it, they remember those things and they came back. So that was pretty upstanding. That was pretty great.
Yeah, I'm glad they did, and I'm glad we've got the opportunity to make it right with our clients, give them an opportunity. In fact, I've already had three or four people escrow. When they heard me mention it last week, they said, oh, we love the Ginsburg policy. We want in the Ginsburg policy. So, you know, three of them have transferred money in because they liked it before, and the opportunity has presented itself, and so they're ready to go. So I've had several, you know, already escrow to see if they can get in it.
Yeah, that's
so
a hot one.
I think everybody may go to escrow. If we have enough interest in it, we're going to do it.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like a great policy. So it sounds
It is. It just takes a lot of people. It's a big policy.
Yeah.
This is a $5 million policy.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it's $5 million.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah.
Oh, man.
So it takes a lot of people. I think back in January, we had 39 people signed up.
Wow.
Yes, 39.
Dang. And that's
so it takes a lot of people. But,
yeah,
you know, we've done brain cancer before, and it always came out, you know, good. And so a lot of those people remember that other policy we did on brain cancer, same kind of deal. And, you know, we know that he's got a short time. The premiums are right. The timing is right. So I think it might be a good time for everybody to go back in Ginsburg.
Yeah. Boy, that's I know with the other one kind of falling through, this is a really good sign, and it's a really good policy. How are we on, like, other policies? What else is happening in the...
Okay, we have a doctor, Dr. Demur. We're doing his policy. That's $2 million. We're filling that this week. And then we've got some smaller policies. We've got a $400,000 policy we're filling, and I think we've got two or three, you know, like $300,000 or $250,000 ones.
Wow. Well, that's pretty good. It sounds like there's a lot of opportunity coming
there
around.
There is a lot of opportunity. You know, it's we're doing it as the policies come and filling them and going on to the next one.
Are life settlements really the best way to to go? Because I know we focus a lot about life settlements just because they're so wonderful. Is it the right kind of policy for everybody? Or not? I shouldn't say it like that. Is this the right type of investment for everybody? Or are there maybe some other alternatives that people might like better than life settlements?
Well, I don't know. You can do real estate. You can do stock. You can do all this other. It depends on what your risk tolerance is. You know, the stock market is up, it's down, it's sideways. I think as you get older, a lot of people don't want that much risk, because if they're getting ready to retire, you can't afford to lose any money.
Hmm.
You can't afford for the market to drop off or to have a panic attack. The market does have panic attacks, and, you know, it can drop a lot in one day. So, and of course, everybody's worried about our government right now. So, you know, there's a lot of factors to think about. This is a life insurance policy. So that takes a lot of your risk out, because we know it's a life policy. We know they're going to pay off. We know you're going to get 100% back of your money. They're not going to ask you to take a discount. I think there's a lot of good things about it. I think the risk is small. There's always a risk, but the risk is small of it going over. Now, we have had some go over. That just happens, you know. But it's still going to pay off. The other day, someone was worried about they had some that went over, and we showed them. Our CPA in office went back and looked to see how much their premiums were, how much their profit was, and if it goes another 2 years, they've still got all that profit in it.
Wow.
So, in other words, the premium wasn't very much, and it's not going to affect their overall earnings.
Yeah, it's like you kind of weigh the pros and cons, and like you say, there is risk with everything. But I think with a life settlement, and it seems like the takeaway is always that it's not about one policy. You know, there may be a great policy that comes along, but it's not about one. It's about really the long term, the big picture, the law of averages, the span of the entire investment journey, so to speak. You know, if people are well diversified, they plan these out, you know, properly, and they're in a policy for a while, and then it matures and it pays out, and then they invest in another one, and this happens multiple times. I think exponentially, your profits just tend to go up and up, and you can see a steady growth, really year over year, policy over policy. And that's really kind of how the whole thing is designed to work. It's not about coming in and finding one big policy and cashing out, right?
That's right. And it's not about if you have one policy, or two or three go over. You know, the next three may all be early. I was looking at someone's portfolio yesterday. I pulled it up to see, you know, how they were doing. Well, they made $56,000 on the first group. The others are late, but they've got 118,000 profit coming off of it.
Really?
Yeah, I looked it up. So money-wise, even though they're going to have to pay some premiums, you know, the next year or maybe 18 months, they've still got a good profit angle. You know, it's not going to ruin them. They're not going to lose all their profit.
Jeez.
And it depends which policy you're in, you know, as to how much profit you've got, how much room you've got to pay premiums. And most of ours have got very small premiums. We've got a few that aren't, but because they're older policies. But in the last 2 years, I would say, or three, you know, our premiums have been very, very small. And they know it going in. So now people are watching to see what the premiums are. They want a low premium, so we make sure that the policies we're buying do have low premiums.
You know, it seems like that's, when you put it in hardcore numbers like that with profits of 118,000, I mean, that's enough to make you drive off the road and smack you in the face. It's like, whoa, 118,000 in profit, a few premiums here and there isn't going to eat into that. And so you start to look at these numbers and this is like, wait a minute, it goes from, I guess, kind of like ethereal, you know, percentages and things like that, and we talk about actual profit numbers. It's really jarring when you throw out something like that. It's like, wait a minute, wow, you can't ignore this anymore. And so is the premium aspect one thing that people are paying more and more attention to?
Yes, they are paying attention to it, and they'll ask me, okay, what is the premium on this? You know, and we have had some that were high, but we thought the risk was worth it. But right now, most of the premium is like 1.3, 1.4, you know, and sometimes, I know we're doing one right now, that's 0.57.
Really?
So it's you know, 0.5%.
Wow. That's...
And so if you've got really low premium, I think it's very attractive. And then the short term, and then it depends on which kind of cancer it is. If it's throat cancer, esophagus cancer, breast cancer, we do an awful lot of breast cancer. And we've done very well with those. Prostate cancer is another thing that people like.
Mm. Yeah.
And colon cancer. Prostate cancer, there's just so many. And we don't do very much stomach cancer. We hardly ever.
Really?
But stomach cancer is kind of like pancreatic cancer. It's pretty fast.
Wow.
Usually, if you can live 2 years with stomach cancer, you've done good. And the bad thing, it fools people, you know. It'll go into remission, and I've had people tell me, I know someone personally that had stomach cancer. And after all this treatment, they said, oh, Faye, it's gone away. We're okay. And it came back within 2 years, and she was dead in 3 months.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
So stomach cancer is one of those that will fool you. It goes into remission, and you think, oh, I'm cured. Mm-hmm. I do not believe you can cure stomach cancer. It's too fatal. You know, everything's in your stomach. So that's an important place. So we haven't done very many of those. I'll bet we haven't had two of stomach cancer. But it's kind of like pancreatic cancer. You know, pancreatic cancer, they'll usually give you 2 years if they were able to do the surgery. But if they can't do the surgery, it's about 9 months.
Really?
And we've had people that didn't even live that long.
Wow. That's
fast. Everybody loves pancreatic cancer. I've got several people that'll hold out. I'm waiting for pancreatic cancer.
You know, really?
They've had several successes with pancreatic cancer, and I understand that. But there's so many kinds, and everybody keeps saying, you know, we're going to cure cancer, but it's not going to be anytime soon.
Boy, you know, as you kind of go through some of these things, I think as I listen to what you're saying, it seems like there's like a maybe a and you'll I'm just kind of assuming here, so correct me if I'm wrong. I probably am, but it seems like as you go through these and kind of analyze them and try to figure out which ones are the best to bid on, where that line is, where's the threshold where, okay, we're not going to bid any more than this because that starts eating into profit. You go through a whole process. It's not just, you know, plugging in a number and just kind of like seeing what happens at the end. It almost sounds like, you know, you'll start out, say, for example, okay, this is a we'll just say, for example, stomach cancer. You get a policy like that and you go, okay, this is going to be good. We know the historical data on this. Like you said, you know, it usually fools you and all that. And then you start going through and it's just like, okay, this is great. We'll look at the premiums. And then, oops, the premiums are too high. So now what looked like a great policy, you know, a couple of minutes ago, now all of a sudden has high premiums. So this is not so good. So then it seems like it would almost be like a tennis match back and forth between the different data points and things that you look at when you decide whether to bid on a policy or not. Is that kind of how it works, or am I looking at it wrong?
Yeah, you've got to look at everything. And, of course, as you know, we turn a lot of policies down. If they're real long-term, we're not even interested. If it's someone 80 years old, I get them all the time. They'll send me 80 and 90 years old. You know, we've had such bad luck with 80 and 90-year-olds. When they say it's short-term, I don't believe it on 90-year-olds. I know they're going to outlive me. The 80-year-old's going to outlive me, you know. We know it's not true. I mean, we've had bad experiences with that. And, you know, people are buying those every day. I don't understand it, you know. I don't know what their luck has been. Yeah. But I do know that, you know, we cut off at 76. You know, we're just not doing anything over 76. And that has been a good thing. And most of our people are in their 40s and 50s when they get stage 4 cancer.
Really?
Yes, I think if you did a survey, most of ours are middle age. And, you know, I was talking to my doctor this week about cancer. And he said it's so different than in the 80s. He said, do you remember in the 80s people grew their own vegetables? They had their own meat on the farms in that town. And he said there was nothing processed. Mm. And he said now we all eat out. We don't know where all the food's coming from. And he said he thinks that's why cancer is so prevalent, is that we don't know what has been used on that food.
That's true.
And he said the safest thing is go to your meat market and buy, if you have a meat market in your town, you go there to buy your meat.
Wow.
You don't buy it from big stores. He said, you go to your local meat market and say, you know, give me half a steer, you know, and put it in the deep freeze. And people used to do that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they would go and get a quarter or a half beef and put it in for the next year.
Yeah.
I can remember everybody had a huge deep freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. They froze all their food. You went to your local farmer and bought all your vegetables, or you grew it yourself, and everybody had a vegetable garden. And he said, you know, now our fruit and vegetables are coming from California, you know.
Yeah.
It's not being grown locally. Now we've got in the Rio Grande Valley, you know, they grow a lot of fruits and a lot of vegetables down there, but we don't always get it from there. Lots of times ours comes from California, as you know.
Yeah.
And they have all kinds of problems with, you know, last year, if you remember all the problems they had, there was a dairy farm right next to them, and that runoff got into the vegetables.
I forgot about
so
that.
So he's saying that's what's causing cancer, is where the food's being grown and how it's being grown. In other words, I guess you'd say keep the herbicides off and all this.
Yeah. You know?
Because we see every day that that does cause cancer.
Yeah, I forgot about all those things that happened out there with all the the cross contamination stuff and
yes,
things.
Yes, cross contamination. You're talking right. That's what happened. And you don't know, you know. And a lot of people used to spray everything, and a lot of those things that you sprayed on your farms, on your cotton, on on everything was deadly.
Yeah.
Now, the fumes were deadly, but nobody knew it.
Wow.
You know? And the first thing I asked when anybody's going to spray my yard, is it safe for pets and children?
Mm.
If you say that, and if they've got something that's safe for them, then I mean, you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
But I would not let anybody spray anything on my yard unless it's pet and children safe.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, and we don't always think to ask about stuff like that either.
I know people don't, but I always think to talk about that and say, what are you putting on my things?
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting that you bring that up because, you know, for a while, you know, we think, you know, it's you know, the herbicides and, you know, all these other things that are on our actual food. But, man, there's so many other factors. You know, like you say, there's lawn chemicals, there's, you know, paint fumes, there's, you know, plastics, there's, you know, all these things. They say not to heat up your if you have like food in a plastic container, they say to put it in glass, don't heat it up in
That's
the plastic,
right.
Because
put
it
in a Pyrex.
Yes, yeah, exactly,
the old Pyrex is safe.
Yeah
so our environment is what's killing us, in other words.
Man, there's so many things, you know, to worry about.
There is, and you can't worry about everything. Life is too short, but you should take some precaution.
Yeah.
You know, you should say, you know, let's not do this. Let's do it a different way and see if we might live longer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know?
Nice way to put it, but I mean, it's direct, but I mean, it's true. Let's see if we can do it a
That's
different
right.
way and live longer. Man.
And you know, people are worried about different things right now. And I think you should make everything as safe as you can in your life, in your investments, in your portfolio. And I think, you know, being safe in it, I think, is really important. I think if you're close to retirement, everybody should be thinking about it that way. You know, we have like 650, maybe 700 investors.
Really?
They've been with us a long time, most of them. So they invest regularly, you know, day in and day out. They know it works. Sometimes it works slow, sometimes it's fast. I've got a lot of people, like one of my clients told me the other day, he said, I'm now in a Roth. I'm in a Roth, I'm ready to go. Because he hadn't been investing for over a year.
Really?
And he said, I've changed to a Roth, I'm okay now, let's go. I'm ready to invest again.
And that's good.
And it is. And I talked about Roths last week. I'm going to mention it again. If you have an IRA and you switch to a Roth IRA, there's no taxes on that. And so that makes it even more profitable. And the other thing is, remember, if you have to pay a premium, it is deductible. It is an expense. So you can expense that out against your profit.
Mm, that's a good point.
So that's another thing. Yeah. And a lot of people, I talked to somebody a month ago, they did not know. So any premiums they paid, they had never deducted it at all.
Wow.
Yes.
It's a big deal. I'm glad you brought that up, because we've never really gone into that in really much detail at all.
Your premiums are deductible as an expense. So that's important to know. And a lot of the things that we do, you know, we don't realize all the things involved in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
And that's one thing about a life settlement. It's got so many positive things, and the people, as I said, they've been with us a long time. They've invested continually over the years. And, you know, they've made money. If they weren't making money, they wouldn't be with us. So that's why we have so many people invested with us. And I know everybody's not happy all the time. And you can't make everybody happy all the time. I'd love to. I want 100% happiness, but it doesn't work that way.
Wow.
You know?
So then here's a question. There are people that will say to themselves, you know, Faye, my entire investment career, I've wasted the last 20 years, say, in the stock market. I haven't made what I've thought I should have or thought I was, whatever. I've wasted 20 years in the stock market. I don't necessarily think I have 20 years left to start over. Is it too late to start doing life settlements if they've, you know, spent you know, so long in the stock market, and now they're maybe in their 50s or 60s. Is it too late to start life
savings?
If they've
got enough money to start. Our minimum investment's $100,000. So you've got to have at least $100,000. You've got to be qualified. You've got to make either $200,000 a year, or you have to be worth $1 million without your home. The government has all kinds of rules. Our contracts are drawn by SEC attorneys. Everything has to be done a certain way for our government.
Hmm.
As you know, the government's involved in everything in your life. unfortunately, folks.
I won't get you started on that rabbit hole.
That's right, right down the hole. So, anyway, people that come to us have got to be qualified.
Yeah.
So, if you come to us and you've got $50,000, you're going to have to do annuities. You're going to have to do something much more conservative. This is conservative. But annuity is ultra, ultra conservative. And so people that do not have but $50,000, yes, they're going to have to go to that. But if you've got $100,000 or more and you're qualified, then you can do this. You can start even if you don't have but $100,000. But most people come to us, they'll say, here's $250,000, here's $300,000, let's make it work.
Okay. And before we get into trivia, what does it mean to be qualified? I know you do have to be accredited. What are those terms?
As I said, you have to have, make $200,000 a year, or you have to be worth $1 million without your home.
Okay.
And this is another thing. Lots of times people say, oh, well, this other guy offered, I'm talking about annuities now, this guy offered me this deal and all this. You know, we've been in business 20 years or more. And we know every annuity company in America. We know which ones pay, how they pay, which ones hold up your money, which ones make your money available to you on a moment's notice. So we're, you know, we're versed in all that. We didn't just get off the train today. You know?
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, it's important.
It is important. And if a fast-talking guy says, I can do a better job, I'm going to do all this for you, think about it, you know.
Yeah.
We know the best annuity companies. We know them all. We know what they're worth, what their policies do, what they won't do. It's just like if you're in the stock market and you buy a variable annuity. A variable annuity is mutual funds with a wrapper around it. And it has the same risk as the stock market if you buy it from a broker.
Really?
You have the same risk. It's the variable annuity. It goes up, it goes down. They do not guarantee your principal if it's a variable annuity.
But with a life settlement, you know what you're going to make.
That's right. You know your principal is guaranteed. You know that insurance company is not going to give you less than you've got coming. So I think an insurance company is a way to go because our money is protected if it's in the insurance company. Now, sometimes you know, we have trouble getting a death certificate. Takes a little longer to get that death certificate, but you know that they're going to pay. We've got three or four policies right now in the next 3 weeks that will be in the bank.
Wow.
And we've gotten the death certificates. We'll be sending them over to the carriers, and then they take about 10 days to pay.
It's a pretty quick
and
process.
Some of them pay quicker than others, yeah. Some of them pay very quick.
Yeah.
And they're all licensed in all these other states. And we had one about a month ago say, oh, well, we take 40 to 45 days to pay. Wrong. Wrong. That's not going to happen.
That's not going to work here. No,
no,
sir.
And so I had Jim Orr look it up. He said, in that state, they've got 15 days to pay. They were just pulling a, you know, a quickie. Saying, oh, if they don't know the law, if they don't know the regulations, we'd just take a lot longer to pay.
Yeah. They don't know that, but they're not dealing with amateurs here.
That's right. And when we have to, we get Jim Orr on it. He gets a hold of them and tells them, you know, this is the way it's going to be. Yeah. And you know, we have never failed to get paid.
Nice.
So, you know, and we're dealing with big, huge insurance companies.
Yeah.
We're not dealing with Ned and the Third Reader here. these are, you know, they're not out here in Podunk. These are huge insurance companies that own maybe two or three companies.
Yeah. It's a big deal because people need to know that, you know, the everything is solid, and it's you're not talking about a guy in his garage, you know.
That's exactly right. We're not talking about the guy in his garage. You know, years ago, there was these guys that started an insurance company, and you know, they thought that if they had an insurance company, that they could just take all this money and run with it. And they found out it's regulated. They didn't know that. They didn't know. Once you put money in an insurance company, it becomes a trust, and you cannot touch that money. A lot of people don't know that.
Really? Oh, I didn't know
that.
That's
right. Wow. It becomes a public trust, and there's all kinds of ways you have to do to even get money back out for yourself.
Wow. I did not know.
It's regulated so much. And they're audited every year, folks. They are audited, state and federal, depending on if it's a holding company or if it's just a regular company. But there's all kinds of audits every year.
It almost sounds like, and I don't know all the rules and regulations, but it almost sounds like insurance companies are held by a higher standards than even like banks.
They are a lot higher because during that audit, if they say, okay, your reserves are not what they ought to be, they will make you literally put up more money.
Really?
That's right. Because you have to have certain reserves. They're going to look at your cash. They're going to look what your investments are. Everything on your books is going to be audited.
Jeez, that's pretty thorough.
They want to be sure, no matter what, you have the money to pay off.
Wow.
And they look, see how many millions of dollars you've written. If it doesn't balance, what you've got escrowed versus what you've written, you're going to have to come up with several million dollars.
Wow. So yeah. There's a lot of accountability.
A lot of accountability.
Wow.
A lot of them write, you know, car insurance. They write, you know, 15 other things. And then some of them write only life and annuities. So it depends what you're involved in as to what your audit is going to be about.
Jeez. Wow. Well, I mean, that's great news for investors. I mean, man.
I think it is because it's the most highly regulated business, I think, in America.
Wow.
It's not like on Wall Street. They get by with everything. As you know. We're always reading about all the things they've done. You know, they might get a slap on the wrist, but most times they don't.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Wild West out on the stock market.
Yes. Oh. New York is the Wild West.
Interesting. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And we're a little late with trivia this morning, but generally speaking, on Saturday mornings around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Castroville, Texas.
All right.
Have you ever heard of Castroville?
No.
Well, let me tell you about Castroville. It's an exact replica of a little French village. Now, do you believe that? Right here in Texas.
Really?
It is known as the Little Alsace of Texas. Alsace is a place in France. The people in Castroville came from Alsace, France. Can you imagine? And it's just as charming as any little French village you ever heard of. And the way it started is a Frenchman came over here in the 1840s, and his name was Henry, and that's H-E-N-R-I, Henry Castro. And he brought several dozen European families from Alsace and Baden, Germany. And he had these land grants along the Medina River, and they came to Galveston in January 9th, 1843. Then they were taken by ship to Lavaca Bay. They traveled overland to San Antonio, and they took shelter in abandoned buildings back then.
Really?
Until the Texas Rangers could escort them to their land and protect them from the hostile Indians.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so, wow.
On September 9th, 1844, they arrived at his land grant on the Medina River. So they've been there a long, long time. And Castroville was a water stop on the San Antonio-El Paso Road and Stagecoach. It was a Stagecoach station. And it was also for the San Antonio-El Paso mail line. And they had some hard years, but their farms flourished. And for generations, they remained insulated from everybody. In their first century, they would hear Alation, which is their dialect, is strictly European, and standard Germany. They didn't even hardly speak English.
Wow, that's got to be tough.
And in the 1840s, when people went through there, they noticed this, that the original settlers all spoke, this other language. And they finally, were speaking English, but they still speak a lot of their own French language, from over there. Now, in 1998, they took the Staunbach Haus, H-A-U-S, Haus, as they say over there, and it was built in 1618 in Alais, France. They dismantled this house, reconstructed it in Castroville in 1998.
Really?
Yeah. So they're as French as they can be. And it says it's like visiting the French countryside to go to Castroville.
Wow, how neat.
And this house that they reestablished attracts thousands of tourists every year.
I'd love to see that.
They have 96 historical homes there.
Really?
96. They have all kinds of wildflowers, lots of poppies, and this medieval architecture, it gives you a glimpse of an old country.
See, now you know how I love architecture.
Yes, and these old homes there, there's old two-story farmhouses, I've seen it, and it's known as the Little Alsace of Texas.
Really?
Yeah, it's got rolling green pastures, they've got the wagons, they've got all these farmhouses. It's like it's taking a trip to the French countryside.
Wow, it's almost like a combination of a trip around the world and like a time warp type of thing.
Yes, and these people were Catholic, so they have a historic Catholic church located right downtown, very old. They've got everything there. And, of course, you can go down to Medina River and cool off during that time. And there's a monument to Henry Castro. But they've got all these historic things, and it's like stepping back in time, to a little French village.
I bet it is. I'm just fascinated that they took the building apart piece by piece, brought it all the way over here, and then put it back together. I mean, that's just fascinating.
Yes, it's a two-story house. It has the little window boxes, everything.
Wow.
It looks like a thatched roof on it. It has little green shutters on it. I mean, it is true all the way. They just took it apart, reassembled it right here in Texas.
Wow. That's cool.
I mean, and everybody says you're stepping back into a French village. They say it's an exact replica of a little French town.
I wonder what the food's like.
I imagine the food is German and French.
Hmm.
Yes.
I hope they have like fried, like, because don't they have like bagnettes?
Yes.
Fried donuts with powdered sugar on them?
Yes, and there's baguettes, and there's only 3,000 people who live there.
Really?
It's a very small town in Texas, yes.
Wow, so it really is a little tiny, quaint French village right here.
Yes.
Wow. Fascinating.
But can you imagine, for years, they kept their language going and, spoke the Alsatian language which is amazing to me. You know, a lot of people want to integrate into English as soon as they come over here.
Yeah.
But these people didn't. They stayed to themselves. They wanted to preserve their language and their heritage.
Wow. And it doesn't sound like they set it up as like a touristy thing. It's just this is where they came over and settled.
That's right. And, you know, their dialect, the German part of it, the French part of it, and they said they didn't speak hardly any English in their homes, their stores, in their taverns. They said it was more like in the 1840s.
Wow.
And the descendants have worked diligently to preserve the language and the European language.
And they still speak it.
They still speak that prominent other language in addition to English.
Wow. That's really, really fascinating. What'd you say, 96 buildings, historic buildings?
There's 96 historical buildings there.
Wow.
It tells you that the French, part of them wanted to maintain that French way of life.
Wow. Do they have like a, is there, and I'm probably asking too many questions now, but do they have like bed and breakfasts and things like that where you can like,
yes.
Really?
They actually have two hotels.
Hmm. Man, that would be cool. That would be really, really cool. And it sounds like just a nice place to just go and just kind of chill out and, you know, turn off your phone and your computer and just kind of like chill out for a little while.
And they said they've kept their culture and their language alive.
Wow.
Because they don't want to lose that part of their heritage.
Yeah. So like literally, if you were to go to visit and stay like a weekend or something like that, a few days, you'd really actually be exploring and living in their culture the way it actually is, not just a recreation of things. It's an active culture.
And Castroville was the first county seat of Medina County.
Really?
That's how far back it goes.
Man.
And, you know, they spoke Celtic, they spoke Yiddish and French.
Wow.
Yeah.
That really would, it sounds like it would be, and you say there's like rolling hills and...
Rolling hills, there's old farmhouses there, they still have old wagons there that you can see. They've preserved all this. They've preserved all their history right there. The old wagons, the old farmhouses, they're still standing and being used.
Yeah, like actively.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, come by and it's a touristy thing and, you know, pay admission and we recreated this lifestyle. It's an actual working place that you can visit. It's not just for show.
Yes, and they don't want to lose their heritage, so I'm sure they have taught their children, you know, Alsatian, which is a different French language, as well as English as they grew up. I know they've preserved everything because everybody says it's like stepping back into a little French countryside.
Wow.
Yes.
That sounds amazing.
It's different than, you know, we always talk about the German places, but I did not know, you know, we had this little French town and French village that they recreated this house from France and brought it over here.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like there'd be a whole lot... maybe easier, maybe more cost effective to just kind of like build something similar from scratch. But man, to disassemble it, because you have to label all those things. I mean, it's a very delicate, planned out process.
It tells you how serious they are about their heritage.
Yeah.
They brought this over here where everybody could see a house from their country and what it really was like. And they wanted that over here that bad. There's no telling what it cost to bring that house piece by piece to Texas.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Golly.
And they brought it all the way over here. They made a visitor center out of it. And now thousands of people a year get to go through this French countryside and French house.
I bet that would be just amazing to go and experience.
I think so. And so it's on my bucket list.
And this is Castroville.
Castroville, Texas, in the hill country.
Amazing. That's definitely on the bucket list. This is it was completely off my radar until just
today. Well,
yes, today.
It was mine. So I was very shocked and very surprised about it, but I was very glad that we had something like that right here in Texas. And, you know, most of the people wouldn't even know about this. And of course, you know, they were Catholic. They built the old Catholic church there, which is very gorgeous. It's been here since all this time. I mean, all these things have been there for years and years and all preserved.
Wow. That's amazing to me.
I think it'd be a wonderful place for somebody to go and study all this, look at all this architecture. I think it's important to our history that we know all the people that came here, where they came from, and, you know, something about them. I think it's that we should all know this.
Yeah, yeah. Not only are we diversified in our investments and things like that, but also diversified in the cultures that we get to experience. It sounds like a really fascinating...
Yeah, and they had a hard time getting here, you know.
Yeah.
They landed in Galveston. You know, they had to come up. They had to live in abandoned buildings till they could get to their land. There was hostile Indians all over Texas.
Yeah.
They had to wait for the Texas Rangers to get them to their land grant.
Wow. So they could get there safely.
Yeah, and I don't even know how they got a land grant from France over here. I don't understand how he did it.
That's a whole other question.
Yeah, and he brought 24 people over. So it was a very small amount of people that first came with him.
Wow. Definitely on the list of things to do. Even if we can't fit it in before school starts, you know, it's definitely something to do, you know, sometime before the end of the year when we can go travel. Castroville.
Everybody says it's very hot there until September and October, by the way.
Okay, let me write that down. This will be a fall.
I know people have been there, and they said, hey, it gets awfully hot there until September.
Definitely.
So it should be a September or October trip.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we'll go when it's so dadgum hot.
Start filling out the fall calendar now.
That's right. Yeah, go right to fall. I'll give you something else to say.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
The phone number is 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Okay, so finally, before we go and wrap things up, we always talk about the risks. I know we kind of got into some of the risks a little bit earlier with the life settlement, but it's something that we do need to cover in a little bit more detail. The first risk is that things could go over. It may not mature when they say it will. It's possible. That's the biggest risk, right?
Your biggest risk is it can go over. Be prepared for it. You may have 8 policies. 4 of them could go over. 2 of them could go over. Be prepared. If you've got a low premium, it's not going to hurt you financially, okay? So if it goes over, it just isn't paying quite as quick as you thought it would. But that is, it's not that big a risk. You didn't lose anything. You may have to pay out some premium. If it's a small premium, it will not hurt you. So that is your biggest risk in this whole thing. The risk of getting your money back is not a risk. You know that life insurance companies always pay off. They always give you 100%. They're not going to discount anything, okay?
Mm-hmm. You get the actual value of it. It doesn't decrease
or change.
That's right.
You're going to get 100% of your value. That's going to happen.
Right.
The second risk is it's not liquid during that time. If you have an emergency, you have to have emergency money standing by. All of my clients do. They all have emergency money. They always keep back money. And I have people that have retired, and they keep like $100,000 or $200,000 in their account with us at all times.
Okay.
So they've always got that backup money. The third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. In the last few years, we've never had a life insurance company go under because their premium income is so great that somebody would buy it, okay? So that is not a risk. So that's really all your risk. The rewards, I think, are much, much greater than the risk. So I think it is a good program. We've been doing it a long time. It works. It's not perfect. Nothing is perfect. But the ups and downs make it worth it. The ups are more than the downs.
Yeah, it's true. And that's what's really important when you look at the big that's picture of how it goes.
Yeah.
And so for people to get started, they do have to come talk to you. You've got availability for appointments this coming week, I would assume.
That's right. We'll be talking to people about the investments, the different policies that are available. If a person has questions, call me. Most people know they can call me and talk to me directly.
And one last time, Faye, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.